If you're hearing the sound of my voice, you're watching Don Talk here on Spectrum Channel 180. Check us out on Roku, Spotify, and Google Play. Today's episode has been brought to you by Tony Sarah Nissan in Coleman. Thank you for joining us here on Don Talk. I'm Don, and my guest today is Mayor Kenneth Nail, Mayor of Hanceville, Alabama. Thank you for joining us today, Mayor.
Absolutely. We appreciate it.
Down there, you just had a little bit of an incident, a pretty big incident. We had those April 12th tornadoes come through on Easter Sunday. Tell us a little bit about, tell us a little bit about what that affected as far as Hanceville goes.
Well, we were really blessed in the city itself. Didn't really have that much damage.
We don't have any volume there. Can you hear us, Mayor?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, there we go. Go ahead and finish what you were saying about the tornadoes. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, we were really blessed in the city limits. Didn't have that much damage. One house was pretty well destroyed. The guy works for our public works department as one volunteer fireman here in town, and a big tree fell completely across his house, just demolished it. So he's had to move out and make other arrangements about a place to live. But thank the Lord that nobody was injured. That's the main thing. Yeah. Had a lot of tree damage, as far as what we picked up, that sort of thing, in the city. Mm-hmm. But what happened, got a call first straight on a cell phone that says, hey, Johnson's Cross has been hit. So, of course, that is not in our city limits, but it is in our police jurisdiction.
Yes.
And in little towns, of course, our first priority always has to be the city. But we're going to be a good neighbor, and I think we've done the best that we could do, and we went up and responded, and me and my daughter was the first one on the scene at Justice Cross, and it looked like a war zone. There was trees, there was power lines, there was all kind of stuff in the middle of 31 highways. I immediately called our public works superintendent, Rusty Fields, and said, hey, let's get a crew up here. They responded with a backhoe. Our whole street department showed up, and we started working. And it first hit Canada 616. That's if you're northbound at Justice Cross and you turn right, that's 616.
Yes.
In behind the Marathon. And the guys, I tell you, I'm really proud of them. They actually, they worked until 4 in the morning. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, about 2:30, I had all I could handle. I left and went home. But hey, those guys, they hit it to 4 a.m. And they were back at 7 to hit it again. So,
wow. And it gets dangerous at night like that. You don't know what power lines are live and so on and so forth. I can imagine the amount of uncertainty in the dark there. It really weighs on you too.
That's right. And pushing with the backhoe, we'd cut and push. And we've got a fairly new backhoe, about a year old, and a limb came around and hit the windshield and didn't knock it completely out, but we pretty much destroyed an $800 windshield that we're going to have to replace. Just in storm damage, we've done this many times through the years, but we just want to be a good neighbor. I tell you, last week, we partnered with the county road department. We worked good with those guys, and we appreciate them, their hard work, and the county commission. But we partnered with them, but I'm not sure how many loads those guys hauled. But we hauled, last week, we hauled 59 loads of debris, and that's tree debris, not C&D, but tree debris. That was about 1,200 cubic yards of vegetative debris. So that was a pretty good pile.
That is a very good size pile. I wanted to ask you just a quick question. When you rolled up on the situation, what was the first thing that went through your head?
Well, you know, my thing is always, of course, we want to protect property, but that's not the first thing. The first thing is we want to protect lives. You know, these houses can be rebuilt. I know that's easy to say. My house wasn't hit. It's very easy for me to say. And sometimes people, you know, they've grown up in these homes, and there's a lot of sentimental value to these homes. But we always are concerned, because in the night when it's dark, it's really hard, because, you know, basically all you can work off of is the calls. You know, you really don't, at that point, you really don't know how wide the tornado field is. You don't know how many people's injured. You don't know if that started the county line, went to the county line. So, you know, there's just so many unknowns. You're trying to look and see and check. And there at Johnson's Crossing, there were several people for a very short time that was trapped in a house there. I think, a tree was up against a door, and people were down in the cellar. So, thank the Lord, nobody was injured on that, but it took a few minutes to get those folks out. So, you know, it's always when you let people know where you're going to be at, because what we don't need is somebody in a cellar or in a basement, and then, you know, nobody knows you're there, and we don't find you for 2 or 3 days later. So you always need to tell somebody somewhere where you're going to be.
Yeah, and that right there could be, you know, life and death, especially in these situations. Mayor, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll get right back with you, and we'll talk a little bit about the census and opening back up. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
All right, great. Well, this episode has been brought to you by Tony Sarah Nissan and Coleman. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to Don Talk. This episode has been brought to you by Tony Sarah Nissan and Coleman. I'm here with Mayor Kenneth Nell, Mayor of Hanceville, Alabama. And Kenneth, let's talk a little bit about the census. Y'all are pushing hard for it down in Hanceville. And I think I know why. It's pretty important, isn't it?
Absolutely, Don. You know, the thing is, what some folks don't realize is that's how we get our funding. In Coleman County, sales tax is shared. So in other words, if you buy something in Coleman, Hanceville gets a little bit of it. If you buy something in Hanceville, Holly Pond gets a little bit of it. So it's very important that every, I think the number is about $1,600, what I was told, per citizen is what the city, actually what we get out of it. So you see, it's very important. And I think sometimes we miss some folks out there. Look, our Hispanic community, nobody's come to get you. As far as we're concerned on the census, it don't matter if you're legal or illegal, we need you to fill out the census. And I just want our Hispanic community to know that. That's very, very important. And so, you know, and it's against federal law for any other agency, our police, the FBI, Homeland Security, nobody can use that census information. So that's very important to know, you know.
Yes.
And I understand that some people say, I don't give the government anything. I don't give the federal government anything. We don't trust them. Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that, and maybe even agree with a little bit. So, you know, on a local level, you know, folks know me. I know them. Heck, most of them got my phone number. So, you know, that it's really important that we fill out our census.
It is. And us up here in Coleman, you know, it's important for us just as much, because otherwise nobody's going to see those federal dollars that we get. You know, this could help with grants and help with, you know, the income of the city. So we really all need to come together. And how long did your assistant say it took to do it online?
She tells me that it takes... Well, that's about what it took me. I've done mine online also. It takes.
Sorry, Kenneth. You're dropping out a little bit there, Kenneth. You're back. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
That's okay.
It takes about 6 minutes to fill out the census, so you know that's And if you have any issues with it, call City Hall and speak to Kim. She will try to guide you through it. And, you know, we're always here to help. And regardless, we put out there so many times, if you need help right now, call City Hall. We're here. Our lobby actually is still open to City Hall. We don't let you come inside the building, but our lobby is open. And the girls will talk to you through the glass. And but we're trying to advise everybody right now just to call. And so that's kind of how we're handling things.
Well, Kenneth, I wanted to, speaking of the coronavirus situation that we have and that y'all have down there as well, let's talk a little bit about opening back up. I know it's a hotbed of issues on everybody's mind, and sure. I just wanted to get your take on what you think the right move is.
Well, look, there's no doubt it's a very serious issue. Just a little personal note, my wife is at Emory in Atlanta. That's where she works at, and mm-hmm. she comes in contact with people that are positive every day. So even for the last couple of weeks, even me and her has been social distance, and when I go to see her, I stay 6 feet away. So it's a very serious issue, especially someone like me with diabetes or some of our elderly people with underlying health issues. Probably the young guy or girl, 20 years old, you know, it's probably not going to be that big of a deal. They're probably going to make it through it, probably going to be okay. But I do think I'm really starting to be about as concerned about, and I don't want to put economy against anybody's life. I'm not saying that at all, not at all. I don't think you can put a price tag on anyone's life.
No, but of course not.
You know, my thing is, if we don't get this thing up and running some way, somehow, is the economy totally going to crash? I don't know. And I'll say this, the president is in a no-win situation. If he opens up, I'm glad he put it back on the governors, but if they open up and this thing comes back for a second wave and it hits hard, they're going to crucify him, or they're going to crucify the governor. Yeah. If they don't open up and the economy keeps falling and falling and falling, they're going to crucify him. So, you know, at this point in time, that's one thing I like about mayors in Alabama. I don't declare whether I'm a Democrat or Republican, which I'm pretty conservative. But folks need to get a grip. They need to push the politics off to the side and help our people. Now, I'm going to get really passionate about this. They need to help leave the BS to the side and help our people like they ought to. Just do what's right.
Yeah. Well, I know there's a lot of heated debate on the subject. And, you know, I think that there's got to be some balance somewhere. You know, we still all have to eat, and we all have to have food on the table and money in our pockets to get that food. But then also all have loved ones that are very susceptible to this, and we don't want them to be involved and get hurt.
I think, like you said, I think it's going to be a combination. I think we're going to have a new normal. And what I mean by that is we've got to keep in mind, I think we've got to get back to work. But I think it's a situation where if you're going to be in contact with people within 6 feet, you got to wear that mask.
Yeah.
You're in and out of places. I'll be honest with you. My wife says she's not afraid of catching it in a clinic over there. She's afraid of catching it at Walmart when she has to go down to get food or something. You know, people just ride up on you. They run right up on you. They're letting their kids run here, run there, touching.
That's true.
It's just crazy.
It is.
Some people just need to get a grip. You know, it's just crazy. But I think we've got to get to work done. But I think we've got to do it in a smart way.
Yes, very much. And you know, there's a lot of people that are deniers about it. Oh, it doesn't exist. You know, I'm not a doctor. And I know you're not a doctor, but from what I'm to understand, the doctors that are doctors are saying it exists, and it is a real issue for our country, and it is very contagious. So I'm with you. Use that common sense. Use them 6-foot rules. Wear masks, gloves, sanitize your hands. It's three little things that you can do to really help improve your, you know, to keep from getting it.
Absolutely. You know, something's going on. I mean, you can call it the coronavirus or you can call it whatever you want to. Something is going on. Now, I do think when you're in a pandemic, I think that you're in a situation where if the poor guy had 25 concrete blocks tied to his neck and you pulled him out of Smith Lake, somebody would say, the poor sucker died of coronavirus. You know, this day and time, everybody's dying of that. So
yeah.
I think that's a little hot because people are still going to die whether this is going on or not, whether it's heart attack, stroke, or whatever. But again, we got to use common sense. There's just so many unknowns.
That's right.
You know,
well,
nobody has any crystal balls. We just do the best we can do.
Yeah, that's true. We can't predict the future. Well, Mayor Nell, thank you so much for coming in today and talking with us. That's all the time we got today. We really appreciate you coming on, and we want you to come back anytime, okay?
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
And hopefully next time we see you, it'll be in person.
Absolutely.
All right. Fantastic. Well, that's been our show today. Thank you for watching. This episode has been brought to you by Tony, Sarah, Nissan, and Coleman. Thanks for watching. Y'all stay safe out there. We'll see you next time.